There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. I have a great show ahead. Willa Ford is on the show today. Now, Willa wrote and performed one of my all-time favorite pop songs, I Wanna Be Bad. I Wanna Be Bad peaked at number 22 on the Billboard Hot 100 back in 2001, and that era of pop was so amazing. Willa was kind enough to stop by to talk about all things pop music of that era. We talked about some of the figureheads in pop, people like Britney Spears, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, Christina, Jessica, Mandy, so much more. We talked about TRL. We talked about a lot of that early aughts stuff that you know I love. Also, Willa is returning to the spotlight later this year. She's an interior designer now. She's going to be having a new show. I can't wait for all of us to see it. I'm very excited. So we also talked about mental health, online bullying, and so much more. I think it's a really great conversation. Maybe I'm biased, but I love chatting with her. So I want to play just a little clip of I Wanna Be Bad, and I want to encourage everyone to check out some of her other music. There's a song called Did You Understand That, which I just loved so, so much. And of course, A Toast to Men, and her version of Santa Baby is amazing too. So check out some of her other stuff. I want to play a clip of the iconic, truly iconic, I Want to Be Bad. And then we'll hop right into my interview with Willa Ford, queen icon legend. If you say you want me, tell me how you gonna be. Hey, Royce. Yo. I want to be bad. Make that look so good. Hey guys, I'm here with icon, queen, legend, Willa Ford. Willa.
That was such a big intro.
It was a big intro, but I'm so excited to have you on the show. We've been trying to make this happen for a while because I am such a huge fan of your music, but that's also crazy. I'm super excited to hear about your interior design work too.
Yeah, that's a big change, right?
A big change. How did that change happen?
So I know a lot of people are very confused by it. So basically, I had sang and danced since I was very, very small and went into the music business. And, you know, there was just a lot of unfortunate stuff that happened. And honestly, it just was not an easy place for me to be. I went home and took some time. And as you know, in the music business, I mean, if you're not pumping stuff out constantly, it's sort of over. So there was just a lot of stuff that happened and it was kind of done for me in the music business per se. And then I went into acting and I loved it. I was having fun, but I was just not filled, just not filling a purpose. Like it just did not feel. Yeah. And I think that came from songwriting, right? Mm. If I wrote a song and I finished it and I heard it, it was finished. For some reason, I wasn't getting the same thing from when I finished a film because I didn't create it. And so I always had an affinity for design and doing homes. And when I moved to Texas with my first husband, sound like that now, yeah. With my first husband, I did our whole home with a designer who became a dear friend and said to me, you know, you could do this yourself. I'm just showing you the places to go. And so when I went through my divorce and I came back to Los Angeles, I started auditioning and doing all of that again.
And for film stuff.
Yeah, for film and TV. And I was doing stuff. And I just got tired of somebody else telling me if I was enough. Right. I just really got tired of it. So I met with my husband now, and he saw that I was designing.
Very hot NFL player, former
He's
NFL player.
Very, gorgeous, yes. Very cute. And I only do cute. No, I'm kidding. And he was the one that said, you know, you're doing this for free for all these friends, and it's such incredible work, and more friends are asking you because they see, you know, you should turn this into a business, just a side hustle, so that when you aren't booking jobs, you don't feel like you're waiting for a job.
Unfulfilled.
And this is my husband. He's like such a business guy. And so I started the company, and it just blew up.
Yeah.
immediately. And that was it. I never looked back.
You know, I'm starting to get into interior design a little bit because this is the first place I've lived in where it's like not the small.
You're adulting.
Not, it's like my first adulting apartment. You know, I've always lived in like studios or like really shitty places. But so I'm starting to kind of get fresh into it.
Yeah.
And I always say I love Home Goods. I think we might have talked about this.
Oh my gosh. Yes. It's like the hell that is Home Goods.
I have a love hate
with Home Goods. It's not really with Home Goods that I have the love hate. It's the people.
The people. I see what you're saying.
Home Goods.
But so where do you shop at? Where do you like to go for interior stuff?
So now I'm like, I do mostly trade stuff. So I go to Pacific Design Center and I love to source locally. So I, over time, have made relationships with families that build furniture, beautiful, gorgeous wood tables by a company called Arbor Exchange, which is a family owned and ran company. My guy that does all of my draperies and recovers everything, and Octavio, his whole family. I try to keep things sourced as local as possible because of emissions. We don't realize that like shipping that couch, you know, is pretty bad for the environment. So we're really trying to be a little more aware of how we purchase.
Yeah.
Did your eyes just glaze over? Was that super boring?
No, I'm kidding. No, I love that. I told you, I'm like fascinated by interior design.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as rugs, you know, it just depends on somebody's budget. I've done everything from going to Living Spaces or Rugs USA and found killer deals to having custom Ebonista vintage 30-year-old pieces that cost $30,000. So it just depends on somebody's budget, you know, as to where that lands me and their taste value, right? Yeah. Some people, they have to have the nicest. Some people have money and they don't want to spend it all. So I just try to sort of base my budget based on the person.
Yeah. Now I want to back up and talk a little bit more about the music career. Yeah. I was doing some research last night and I was trying to figure out like why I and so many other gays like have been such a fan of I Want to Be Bad and some of your older music. And I was really trying to think about it. And I think I can't speak for every gay person, but I feel like for me, I was hearing it at a time that I was closeted myself.
Correct.
And seeing someone who is so in charge of their sexuality was almost like a fantasy that I, and I think many other people had, because you seemed so comfortable with your sexuality at the time.
So funny. I think that I was like 20 at the time when that came out. And I wrestled with it myself, right? I just was wrestling with who am I and what am I? And I think I just decided to come out guns blazing because that was the exterior. But just like yourself, I'm sure like that was an alter ego to me because really inside I was still this scared whatever. But
20 years old.
Right. But for me, I got the chance to live this out on MTV and I was like, yes, I'm going to, you know, do this. And I do think that I Want to Be Bad was... It was written when I wrote it about,
I wrote it.
It was about the idea of, I was so tired of all of the record companies telling me that I had to be a goody two shoe.
Because that was right around the time Britney would.
Everybody was good.
Good
you
girls.
Know?
Britney, Jessica, Mandy.
Yeah. And although it was like with an edge of a twist, it was like even more. I think it's worse when you don't actually just say, this is who I am. This is what I am. Boom. And the record company's like, we need that like really sweet, kind hit. And I went to the studio that day and I was like, we're going to write a song literally the opposite of what they've asked me to do.
Right.
And I was just in a place where I was so tired. Why were men allowed to do it? So MTV was playing, you know, all these videos with women in bikinis, but they told me that if the lead singer was or whatever was in the bikini, they would not play it if it was a female. And I felt like that's not gonna fly. Madonna did not do all of that work for you to now go backwards and tell me that. And I don't think that was MTV necessarily saying it. It was just record companies really wanting you to be good. Yeah. And so that's sort of where Bad came from. And then I loved that in your community, it resonated in a way of stop, like just stop pretending, like let it be, like let your freak flag fly, like whatever you need to be it. And I really had no idea when I wrote the song that it would do that for people.
Yeah. I mean, I remember listening to it over and over and I watching it on TRL and just becoming really obsessed with it. And literally since it came out, I don't remember a time where I stopped. It wasn't on like a pregame playlist or a workout playlist or whatever it is. And I just found it. I found it so thrilling. And I love that you wrote it. I think that kind of gets lost. And then you were literally performing it everywhere. I was doing my research and you were on Live with Regis and Kelly. Yeah. And you were wearing like a Dump Him shirt. I was like, oh, I love these fashions.
Yeah, Juicy. Remember Juicy Couture? Juicy Couture made that. Oh my God. They like made me a couple pieces and I was like living for it.
It was so good. And then also MTV Spring Break, you had like the Playboy shirt. And I remember like at that time, everyone was buying like Playboy merch. Do you remember that? It was like such a weird...
It was. It's so funny you said that. It'll come back around. Don't you worry. We were all wearing like Playboy merch. We like cut it up. You know, we thought we were so cool.
Was that whole time period just a blur because you were performing it everywhere?
Yes. Yeah. I think that's what people don't understand. And like for recently, like Britney being back in the news. And I don't think the people understand. There's just a weird, I can't explain it. You're so grateful for the opportunity and what's happening. There is a weird thing that happens. You are so overworked in just a different way. I don't know how to explain this. And overtired and constantly have to be on to a point where it slowly chips away. And I really think, because I knew Britney back in the day when she knew me as Mandy Williford. Yeah. And I really think, I really think that's sort of what has happened to her. I think it's a constant, you really pay the price for being Britney Spears. And I don't, you know, envy that at all. She's such a sweet girl. And just so I think during that time, it really was all a blur. I have little moments where I can remember things.
Yeah. Like what sticks out? What little moments?
Like some spring break MTVs. My mom and I were talking about it the other day because, so remember when like Master P and his little son, little Romeo.
Of course, how could I forget?
Yeah. Okay, how can you forget? So they were the nicest. So I remember Master P just like sitting on the couch, kicking it next to my mom. It's so weird. And then little Romeo accidentally like walked into my dressing room.
Oh my God.
I was like, boobs out. And I remember he came back out and I was like, oh no, I'm so sorry. And Master P looked at my mom and goes, it's okay. It's only the first set of white boobs he's ever seen.
So
like stuff like that you can't make up, you know, and there are such great memories with such incredible artists and people.
Yeah.
And then there's other stuff that's like an absolute blur.
Those MTV spring breaks seemed wild. And I know they're rebooting everything on MTV and it's like, I would love to see that kind of stuff. Cause I remember that time period of when the MTV spring break would start, like I'd sit in front of the TV and I was so excited.
Yeah.
To just watch anything.
So understand that the only reason I probably wanted to be a pop star and not an opera singer was because of Cyndi Lauper and MTV Spring Break. I watched it like all the time. The fact that my parents let me watch it in the 80s is horrible. Like horrible. I love you, Mom, but what? And it literally made me just want to be in a music video. Yeah. And I hope they bring it back. And I hope it's because it's so fun for the artist. Honestly, the artists have such a good time. I don't know what it's like as somebody participating and just flying down there. We'll have to ask people if they went and how it was. It looked like it was really hot and really bad.
Crowded.
And
like, very crowded.
Yes. But I could be wrong. Maybe it was amazing. But for us, it was just this really cool experience to meet all of these other artists that we didn't normally get to talk to.
Do you have a favorite Cyndi Lauper song? You mentioned Cyndi.
I actually loved She Bop.
Yeah, She Bop's great.
I had no idea what it was about.
Yeah.
Like my whole childhood, I have demos of me at like 9 or 10 singing She Bop.
Well, yeah.
Guys, it's about masturbation.
But that's also like literally I was 13 years old singing, or I don't know how old, I Want to Be Bad, like in
well,
the closet.
Well, it wasn't
like,
masturbation.
I know, it wasn't masturbation, but it was still like.
Yeah, no, it's pretty, yeah. Yeah, see, I did exactly what Cyndi did.
What was your favorite fashion? We talked a little bit about fashion. What was your favorite fashions of that time?
Oh my God, like, they were like all the worst, by the way. All the worst. The denim on denim on denim is the best. There's a picture of me in like shredded denim pants, shredded denim like halter top with like this faux fur and denim jacket. And I still remember thinking, this is the coolest outfit I will ever wear in my life.
Yeah.
And it was called the Event to Prevent. I think, who was it? It was like Candies and Bongo or something was doing like safe sex. And I wore that thing and I thought I was so cool.
I love that. I love that. Now, is it true that I Want to Be Bad? Like you wrote it, but then was it offered to Victoria Beckham? Is that like a rumor? Somebody?
No, it wasn't that song.
Oh, okay.
So there was a song on the record that I did not want to record. Innocent Girl. Called I'm Not Such an Innocent Girl. And I did not want to record it. And the record company pushed me to record it, actually. And I did it. And they promised me that it could just be like a side B. It ended up I can't remember where, if it was on, it wasn't on the record, but it was like a side B, and Victoria recorded it after that because it only made a side B. So legally they have that. And so, yeah, she recorded it, I think, over in Europe.
So you were a trained opera singer.
Yeah.
Do you miss music? Are you still?
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah. So I miss music a lot. I actually, you know, went to Nashville and wrote a bunch of country stuff recently. And I, you know, there's a part of me that's always going to miss that. It's really interesting having a kid now because I introduce it all to him. When we're in the car, I play everything and I harmonize to everything because I really feel like that's why I had such an ear from a young age is because my parents both sang. Mm. So I try to do it as much as I can, but yeah, I totally miss it.
And I saw an interview where you were doing the whistle register, which not many people can do, the Mariah whistle register. I was so impressed by that. I'm a huge Mariah fan.
Oh, I was such a Mariah fan. That's why I learned how to do it.
What's your favorite Mariah song?
Oh, Vision of Love was like always, or Someday. I loved Someday.
Someday was good when she had that curly hair.
I had bopped around the living room to that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so good. So good. So, okay, before the first album, you were on tour with Backstreet Boys.
Yes.
What was it like to be so young and on such a huge tour? Because they were huge at that time.
Yeah, that's really, that was definitely a blur for me. It was really interesting because it was a time when my record hadn't dropped, but I was already signed to my label. So we were just sort of out there trying to promote that it was coming. And it was good and it was bad. I think it would have been better if the single had already released. I don't think they should have thrown me in that so fast.
So the fans would be able to sing along and stuff.
Yeah. But also I think the fans had made up their minds pretty quickly that they just weren't going to like me over the boyfriend situation. So it became a little bit of a weird thing. If hindsight, maybe being removed completely from it would have been better, but, but it was good experience. I enjoyed doing it.
Yeah.
But it was, I think you need a single to tour. I really do.
Yeah. You know, you had dated a short time back then, Nick Carter, and I was
4 years.
4 years. I didn't know this happened, but you were really online bullied at the time. And this was before social media and the chat rooms and stuff. The Backstreet Boys fans, they can be very intense.
Yeah, it was really interesting because I was also really young. I don't think people realized how young I was being bullied at. And so, you know, these are really prime years, 16, 17, 18, when you're bullied in high school and it hurts. But I was being bullied in like on an international level and it was very hard for me. And I think part of that alter ego of Willa Ford and I Want to Be Bad coming out was because I felt I had to put on this really hard, tough exterior because I had been punched so hard that I felt like if I just come out like, I don't care what you say or what you think, then people will like leave me alone. But it's definitely before people recognized what cyberbullying was, I was definitely cyberbullied.
Like I was seeing some of this stuff and it was very intense.
It's insane.
And what kind of scared me about it is that I was reading, there's a girl named Melissa, forgive me, I don't know her last name, but she was in a girl group, Dream.
Schumann.
Yeah, and she had dated Nick Carter as well. And during this whole Me Too movement, she came out and said some things that had happened. And she, in 2018, 2019, is getting
it's
online
bad.
Bullying from Backstreet Boys fans.
Yeah.
And I understand loving an artist. I think that's...
Yeah.
But it's so sad to me.
Yeah, so I've chose not to comment on that. I know Melissa. I obviously knew Nick. I am choosing not to talk about it at all, but I will say that if you weren't there, whether you're pro team Nick or your team Melissa, if you weren't there, you have no right to hate on anybody. Whether it's Nick, you don't have a right to call him guilty without knowing. And it's whether it's Melissa, you know, you don't have a right to say that she's lying without knowing. So I think it's a really, Me Too has put us all in a really hard place. We're really having to evaluate, but it's weird. Our instinct is quickly to defend the celebrity or the more powerful celebrity. And I think we've got to be kinder to one another. You know, it hurts me to see how they've attacked Melissa. Again, like, I'm not going to comment on what I believe or don't believe. I just wish that people wouldn't be so non-supportive to women that are trying to maybe cry out for help. I don't know if it's true or not.
It breaks my heart, though, to think about you being at such a young age. I mean, Melissa's an older girl, and of course...
Well, these women that bully me are now in their, like, mid-20s to late-20s, maybe have children. In my mind, I like to tell myself that now they have kids and they recognize what cyberbullying is, and they maybe feel bad, or maybe they realize, like, oh, man, that, we didn't even realize what we were doing back then. But... part of me also understands the human condition and knows certain people are never going to admit that they were wrong, and they'll still feel a certain way about me. And that's really okay. I've come to the fact I'm okay with that. I have a husband who loves me deeply. I have a son who loves me deeply,
right,
and a family. And my friends that know me would be like, it's laughable, but that's okay. You know?
Yeah. What advice would you give to some young person dealing with online bullying? Because it happens all the time and it's sick. I mean, you have a child and it's like
so bad.
I think about how they're growing up now where it's like everyone is getting some sort of bullying.
Yeah. What's interesting is there's twofold, right? There's cyberbullying and we're comparing ourselves. So we're bullying ourselves. It's happening two different ways, right? So, and you can't say that I'm not bad about that, or you're not. Like, I'm constantly looking, and you can compare yourself to other moms, or you can constantly compare your face. Do I look young enough still, or do I have this, or, you know, or, oh, they flew in a private jet that day, and I didn't. You just have to, like, really cancel out the noise and start focusing on what's more important. And with the cyberbullying, it kind of goes down to the same thing. I have a phrase that I use all the time, which is hurt people hurt people. If I remind myself that my perpetrator, whoever's hurting me, they have been hurt, it helps me to forgive them immediately.
Right.
That sounds crazy. But it's 16 and 17. That's like a learned behavior.
Yeah.
It took me a very long time. Look, I'm 38 years old now. I can say it now. 16 and 17, you're just in tears all the time.
Yeah. You know, you're a person of faith too. Have you always been? Or?
Yeah, I've always been a Christian, believe it or not, for bad. I was. I always loved me some Jesus, but I was not... I wasn't born and raised in the church, so I didn't go to church, and I didn't have that support system, those friends, those family members. It was just different back then. And when I moved to Texas, I think is when I really found, you know, church and found the Lord and really re-plugged into that. And I think it's what really saved me from myself. It really helped me to be okay with some of the things that have happened to me and say, I forgive these people, or I forgive this situation, and really move forward in a positive way now.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, I suffer from depression and anxiety, and I feel like there's certain times where I struggle with my faith, but there are certain times where
it's harder in the gay community with faith. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But I don't know.
Everybody, by the way, everybody struggles. I think everybody struggles with depression and anxiety at different levels. I just don't think we talk about it. But I think everybody does. There's probably three instances in my life where I was definitely depressed and definitely needed help out of the dark tunnel. So
those three times, what ages were they?
One of them was during the whole cyberbullying. Yeah, that was probably coming off the cusp of all that. I mean, that was quite a long time of therapy trying to work through some of that. Definitely when I got a divorce, but that was circumstantial to divorce. I would say there was another time there in the middle that was probably probably just trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life at that point after music. But, and mine's mostly circumstantial. It's when, you know, kind of things did not go well or people were hurting me that I let that really seep in. Some people, it's not that. Some people, it just comes on out of nowhere. Yeah. And so it's good that we can talk about it.
I know. I always try to bring it up, and you know, I know some people are more comfortable talking about it than others, but I think it's good because whenever I hear people talk about it, I feel better about my own stuff.
We all have it, and you're lying if you don't.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about BSB. Did you see that new Lou Pearlman documentary?
Oh gosh, no.
It's on YouTube. I don't know. It was really interesting, but I wondered, did you ever see him around?
Yeah. Not a good dude. He's not a good guy. I know a lot, but he's not a good guy. Yeah. No, not a good man at all.
It seemed...
It's not good. He was not a good guy, and that is a good example of just, unfortunately, power and money, and it got worse, and so I'm glad that at least it's come to light quite a bit. I don't know that the full blow of it has come to light, but at least some of it has.
Yeah, the documentary was interesting, and it seemed like there were other things that were alluded to, but they didn't get too deep into it.
Right.
But,
well, there's a lot of alluding when people, when, you know, people don't feel confident or comfortable coming out about certain things. I think you're always going to have some, you know, and some people do it to protect their families. And maybe I'm one of those people, but I'm not with my loop problem, but I'm just saying, like, I don't want to put my family through something. So therefore I choose to not talk about it. Right. Yeah. And so I think, yeah, he was not a great man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although he brought you many a great things.
Right.
You know, but it's like you take the, yeah, it's like it with the bad, cost? But yeah, nobody should treat humans like that.
Okay. So now I'm lightening things up. We talked a little bit about I Want to Be Bad, but I also, I was texting you this last night. I love Did You Understand That? I love it so, so much. As I was prepping, I know there was this article that came out a couple years ago. I think it was an interview with maybe Billboard or something.
Yes.
And you had talked about how the second out. You had talked about the second single.
Second single dropping, yeah.
And everyone picked up on this headline. It said, like, Willa Ford blames 9/11.
Yeah, which, by the way,
which was not what
you
did.
If you watch the interview, right, or you listen to the interview, or you read the interview, it's not what I said at all, but one...
It took completely taken out of context.
Of course, it's called clickbait.
Yeah.
And they did it to me.
But so I wonder, can you clear it up? I know you, if people look at that interview, they can see that that's not what you were saying. You were saying this single was released, the second single, Did You Understand That? Which should have been a huge hit. Should have been like a number one, because I love it.
Like, I love it.
I love it so, so much. Literally, that's still on all my playlists. Like, no joke. And a toast to men, but we'll get there. That. But Did You Understand That was the second single, and it was released on September 11th, 2001.
Yeah.
And you were just saying, like, your career, it was a different, it was hard for a pop star at
Yeah, at it was very time. Hard for a pop star. I mean, it was one of those things that, it was very crowded radio space, right? So you were slotted when you would come out. It was very... very crowded radio space. And I remember one of the articles, or no, like I remember a not a fan, but like a person that was like bad mouthing me said, well, Jay-Z's album did just fine. And Mariah Carey, I was like, did you hear what you just said? Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Willa Ford was not Jay-Z. Yeah. I didn't have five albums out, you know, it was just an interesting.
And by the way, even Mariah Carey struggled at the time with Glitter. I mean, it was a different landscape. Glitter yeah, came out right around.
It was definitely a different landscape. I mean, but really what it boiled down to is just everybody in New York sort of shut down because we were all in this like, what the heck survival mode. So yeah, there was no disrespect meant in what I said. And if you want to see, you can read the actual article versus the fake, but that was one of those situations where it was really unfortunate because I hadn't done interviews in a long time because I just felt like I didn't want to talk to people because you never know when they're going to do something to take advantage. And that was just one of those situations, you know, it's like you did like something that seemed totally innocent and then people turn it on its head and that's just the price you pay for, you know,
right.
It is what it is.
Right. But so you, after that, you recorded a second album. You released a song called Toast to Men, yeah. Fuck the Men, which yeah. I also love.
Yeah.
Another gay anthem. My friends and I, like when I first moved to LA, I remember we used to go out and like, we would, that would be our toast as we would pregame. And the toast, yeah. I wrote it down. Here's to the men we love. Here's to the men who love us. Here's to the men we love who don't love us. Fuck the men. Let's drink to us. I mean, yeah. Come on.
Is so you know better? That, so basically I went back home for a while after the first album and I just wanted to be normal. And I was going to some sorority parties with friends. So that's where I did not.
So you heard that from the sorority because it's a sorority.
I am not the original person to say that. They were doing a toast and that was the toast. And I was like, how has nobody written a song about this?
Yes.
I immediately got back to New York and was like, I am writing a song about this toast because this is hilarious.
So good.
And then had Lady May come in and we just like totally just went for it. And it was so much fun. It was a really fun song. But I think that album, you know, if I can be really honest, I think I didn't know where I needed to go in the landscape. Music was changing so fast. I didn't know who I was. I wanted to do something with a little bit of a, like, had a little rock edge. They were telling me rock can't be done by a girl at this point in time.
And that was right and before Avril Lavigne and Kelly
completely
Clarkson.
Changes what she does. Right. But everybody's like, it's not going to work. So like I had wrote all these songs because I'm the writer. So I had wrote all these songs that they're like, this is never going to work. We need you to make the same pop album. And I got the same thing that a lot of singers do, which is you do one album and then you change and you want to do something different. And the record company's like, this is not. And then you feel the tug and the pull. And yeah, I think that's kind of what happened.
So then the second album never came out. would, yeah. But it was leaked. Yeah. Was it mostly, it was mostly leaked online.
It was leaked. Yeah. I don't know how stuff gets leaked. It's really interesting. Like some stuff was leaked out. Some stuff was like, oh, this was on the second album. I was like, no, it wasn't. It was just a demo. It was, you know, I write 200 songs for one album.
And you said you're still writing, like you just were in Nashville writing stuff.
So like I still write here and there. I just had a friend that contacted me. He's in town. He's like, hey, can we write?
So would you write for other artists or would you want to, if you write something that you love, do you have to sing it?
No, I would totally give it to another artist. The problem for me is I don't have any time.
Yeah, you're busy. I mean, you have 100 things going on. You have a child.
I just decided that when I switched these gears and when I did this, that I was going to go full steam ahead and really take everything that I did seriously. And I'm one of those people. I'm like OCD over the thing that I'm doing at the time. So I'm so full tilt in the interior design. There's no room for anything else at this point. Now, if I write on the side, it's just for me and for fun. And if it gets placed because it's with another writer, co-write, that's fine.
Yeah. Now, you shifted into acting. You did. You played Anna Nicole Smith.
I did.
What did you learn about her playing?
It was really great, actually. I learned a lot about her. I think people really thought, again, here goes press, right? She's a gold digger. And that was like the end of it. And that was not the situation. We are talking about a girl from an abusive past who found an old man that made her feel safe. Mm. And that old man that made her feel safe was love to her because she never understood what love looked like. So I think people were like, that's disgusting. And we're talking about a young woman who was abused from a very young age. And this man was safe. Like, yeah. I don't think people understand how that makes us make decisions later in life. So I loved playing her because I dug all that stuff up and was like, wow, she was so much more complex than any of us realized. And how sad that we couldn't help her like through her mental health issues that were based on how she was brought up. You know,
it's what's so interesting to me is just talking to you about both the pop career, which came at a time when young women were really at the front and center of the pop music, mm-hmm. and then in playing Anna Nicole's, like you've had such an interesting look inside fame that I think most people have never gotten.
Seen a lot.
You've seen a lot. And it just seems, I mean,
it's fleeting. It's true. Fame is fleeting.
Fame must be such a turnoff.
Right. Well, yeah. So it's really interesting because someone was saying something about the interior design business, and we'll get into this, but we've talked about this. Like, I've decided to come back into the limelight and do a show. Yeah. And it took a lot of conversations with myself, with my family, to see if I was ready to do something like that because I was so turned off by it. And I'm not dogging it. Like, you know, I loved singing, I loved being up there, I loved writing, but there's so much that comes with that. And like, really preparing yourself for, it's okay if people don't like you. That's so hard. Like, I don't think I'm the only one that struggles with that. But literally, I put my heart out there for people to just stomp it. And I think about all the celebrities, that's really what they do. Right. Even celebrities that people are like, they don't have any talent. I don't know why they're... And it's like, look, it doesn't really matter. They're hardworking.
Yeah, they're putting themselves out there.
They're putting themselves out there. Let's not stomp on them. But that's what we do as a society.
It's hard, especially as a creator. Like, even this little podcast I have, it's like, I want to, of course, take feedback and criticism and that kind of thing. But occasionally, it's hard when you work so hard on something. And people don't know how hard you work
on something. It's your baby.
And it can just be so discouraging and hard when you do hear something negative. And I'm not talking criticism, I'm talking about
constructive criticism is very, very, very different than just crapping on somebody.
Yeah.
And if we can all take a moment, we all have done it. I've done it myself. And one of the things, like we talked about this, like I'm a Christian, I'm on this fast right now. It's why we're drinking green juice.
On cleanses, which is the worst thing.
We're drinking green juice. And, but it's true. Like, be kind to your neighbor. And we are just jerks.
Brutal.
We are so mean and judgmental to each other and ourselves. I can't take it.
Do you think that your image at the time, because it was so upfront with your sexuality, do you think it made people be harder on you? I don't know if this question makes sense.
I don't think they thought there was a depth to me. I think that they saw one speed. So it's like if there's a 1 and a 10, they saw a 10, but they never saw my like 5, my 6, my 3. And it was kind of like they didn't even want to see it. At that point, it was like, no, you're just this. Let's just see that. And it's like, well, there's a lot more to, like, I'm classically trained, you guys. Like, I don't have to sing like this. Like, I can actually, it's like, no, we're good here. And so yeah, I think coming out guns blazing, it was so funny. Even 10 years later, going into an audition room and like trying to play the girl next door, they're like, it's crazy because no, we don't see her as the girl next door. And you know, agents will be like, you need to meet her. And then they meet me, they're like, oh, yeah. I'm like, what did you guys expect me to come in like guns blazing and booty shorts? Yeah. Like, no.
It's weird too. At that time in pop, it was different. I mean, that was a year when I Wanna Be Bad came out. It was a year before Christina came out with Dirty. And I remember when that came out, that was a similar situation where I felt like in the media and people were, mm-hmm. it felt like they had a liberty to say she's a slut, a whore.
Not crazy. Whatever,
because she was wearing the assless chaps mm-hmm. and she was, you know, mm-hmm. upfront with her sexuality. Mm-hmm. And I almost think the reflection of self where it's like, I'm afraid to be that way with my sexuality. Mm. So some people think, I can comment on them being that way. Does yeah. that make sense?
I just think that people are scared of what they don't understand. Mm-hmm. And so Christina was just being an artist, and that was her art. And whether you like it or you don't, art is made to provoke an emotion. And that was her art. And so people came at her hard for it. She gained some fans. She lost it. It's just, you're always going to have that. I guess at the end of the day, it's like, just try to figure out where your moral compass is and try to point north. Otherwise, don't listen to people.
Yeah, you have to tune it out.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about interior design. You do have a show. We're not allowed to say too many specifics, but you do have a show coming back.
I do.
And you will be back in the spotlight. And I can't wait for it. I'm super excited. You told me a little bit about it. You told me a little bit about it. And it's like, oh, this is going to be good. Like, yeah. I said that. I was like, this is legit.
You're like, I'm going to watch this.
I'm like, literally going to watch it. It sounds like a great concept. Is there anything you can tell us about?
No, I mean, it's coming out late summer. So you'll see it on your normal
it'll
TVs.
Be a big, it'll
yeah,
be a big
yeah,
thing.
You'll
it'll
see it on your thing. Normal TVs. I'm part of a cast. There's multiple people involved. I'm the interior designer on it.
Some good people involved.
I can tell you it's not HGTV, if right. that helps.
Do you watch any of that stuff?
I used to a lot. Yeah. I'm a cord cutter, so me I don't too. Watch HGTV yeah, right now. Too. But yeah, I watch shows that I like, but I don't watch all of it. There's a lot of different stuff on there for a lot of different people. But as an interior designer, my life is interior design, so I kind of don't want to go home and watch it at night.
Yeah.
I think for people, it's their escape from their real jobs. But for me, it's my real job.
Yeah, you're
so it's like
it,
the
like
last
sweating,
thing
like,
I want to watch. Yeah. but yes, we have a show coming out in July. You'll meet myself. You'll meet my whole team. And
will your family be on it?
No, my family's okay, off okay. limit.
That's good.
Yeah. So that was just, you know, again, going back into the spotlight, that was a discussion. We have a 2.5-year-old. Elijah, and he needs to be protected.
If Elijah was like, I want to get in the music industry, would you?
I would. I so yes.
It seems tough.
Whatever my son wants to do, ultimately, whatever his path he chooses, I'm going to support that. But only if he has the talent to back it up. I'm not going to be the mom watching my kid on American Idol that's like off key and like, nobody ever told me I couldn't sing. No. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to be like, you know what? I love you. You can play a little guitar, maybe write some songs, but
I'm sorry. They're doing construction above me.
Oh,
it's
hi.
A nightmare.
They're just like, quiet down. You're very loud. You're very loud.
Between the cleanse and the construction
you're
upstairs,
ready to murder
I'm literally
somebody.
Like, I'm on the edge. I'm
I gotta
on the brim.
Go. I got to get out of here. That's kind of it. So we'll be coming out and my family's not. They're off limits. My sweet husband is off limits. And
are there trends in interior design? Like, is that farmhouse style still in? Or like, what's
really funny? You said
are
that.
There trends?
Yeah, there's always trends. There's always trends, and then there's always classic. So I give people trends when they ask for them. But my goal as an interior designer is to come back to a house in 20 years and not like want to run out the door.
Yeah.
Because trends come and go pretty darn fast. So, yeah, that farm modern, I mean, Joanna Gaines is incredible. I think she single-handedly put so many trends on the map. And what a positive role model, you know, on TV.
Sure.
I love them. But I do think the market got super, super saturated.
Yeah, everything. I mean, and
she knew it, too.
She knew it,
She
yeah.
knew to pull out because she was like, this is getting way saturated. And she went to focus on
family. They
were
smart to stop that show. I think they're doing something else now.
But they stopped it when they did. I think it was good. I think, you know, things take their course and then you find new paths. But she single-handedly farm style modern. Do I think it's going to be around forever? No, I think pieces of it will last and will be, you know, integrated into design. But
I got so addicted. There was like a weekend where I binged a million episodes of that Fixer Upper. It's like a really aggressive.
You suddenly like bought a tool belt and you bought like a hammer.
Well, my boyfriend and I like literally went to Target and bought the whole Chip and Joanna line.
Of course you did.
I was like literally obsessed with it for a solid like maybe 2 weeks. And then I.
And then you're like, can we return this?
It was just like, enough is enough.
I'm looking around now. I was like, Chip and Joanna games. I was like, I see the ottoman. I was like, listen, I'm not afraid of Target.
I used to have these Chip and Joanna placemats and I accidentally lit them on fire with the Yankee Candle advent calendar.
There's a lot in that, you just said. The Yankee advent calendar.
I love a candle. And if you know Yankee Candle, they'd had like an advent calendar where it was like a different candle. They don't sell it in the U.S., but I ordered it.
They stopped selling it because people burnt their houses down with
literally almost burned my whole old kitchen down. Like, not this place, but... But the Chip and Joanna placemats were non-flammable, so they like literally saved. If they were flammable, apartment would have burned down.
Let me tell you what that was. That's a mom.
Yeah,
that's a mom. Joanna. She was like, make sure these things can't be ripped, burnt, torn. Yeah, that's a mom designing. That's hilarious.
She saved my life. Is what I'm saying. We talked a lot about the pop girls that you came up with.
Yeah.
I wanted to throw some names out there, and I wanted to see if you have any like good memories, juicy stories, a favorite song of theirs, like any kind of memories.
All right.
Jessica Simpson.
I love Jessica Simpson. By the way, she just like killed it later in life, which I love.
I know. Her branding is insane.
Yeah.
Did you watch Newlyweds at that time? Did you ever watch that show?
I never watched Newlyweds. I never watched Newlyweds, but my sweet memory of Jessica Simpson one time was she came up to me on stage and everybody kind of pitted us all against each other, but she came up to me and she was like, I just wanted to let you know I really love your voice. It was really sweet.
Aww.
Yeah. Like very authentic, out of nowhere, said it to me. And she's a great singer. I will say some of the facial things, she's got a great, some of the things you posted just had me rolling. I was like, but we all, like, if you went through stuff with me, you'd be like, wow, Willa. Yeah.
I mean, I love her to death, but then, there's no but. I love her so much.
I think she's pretty much who she is. I think she's pretty frank about it now. And I love that now later in life, she just embraced the fact that, you know,
she's great.
She was known as a little ditzy and then she just embraced it and then was like, I'm the secret billionaire now. Bye.
Such smart marketing. And I think, I don't know if it was her father, Joe, who did it, but like just putting her in that Newlyweds lane and then embracing the ditziness. Like, I don't know. She struck gold at that time. It was like,
yeah, I have no idea how it happened. I just know I'm happy for her. Yeah.
Mandy Moore. Now you changed your name
because
of Mandy Moore.
Yeah. Sweet Mandy Moore. So yeah, Mandy Moore and I were in a girl group together called Eye Candy.
What?
Let me spell that for you.
What?
IKAND.
What?
That's right, out of Orlando, Florida.
I did not know this.
For like a brief moment. And she was just very sweet.
That was before Candy.
That was before she signed with Epic Records.
Really young.
That was before she signed with Epic. That's before I signed with MC. Oh yeah, we were signed. We were very young. I was 17.
Did you record?
I think I was 17. No. I might have been 17. She was like 14 or so.
How many
she was
girls
very young.
In this group?
There was four of us. A girl named Lauren Mayhew, who I'm still friends with, and a girl named Thalia. Don't know.
Thalia, I don't think so.
Okay. I have no idea what has become
where
of Thalia.
She is, yeah.
Everyone has a story.
Research.
Everyone has a story and she is somewhere. So we were in a girl group and I was going by in that group. I was Mandy and she was Lee because we are both actually Amanda Lee.
Wow.
And so we both went by Mandy and I was obviously the dominant older one. So I got Mandy and she got Lee at the time. Well, then we went our separate ways, signed records. Her record company went the route of, she got songs written for her, Jive, like wrote Candy, and I went the route of a writing tour because I wanted to write my own music. So it took me a lot longer to obviously come out too. And then Mandy came out and my record company's like, well, we cannot release you as anything Mandy now. So they took my last name, Williford, and split it into two basically. But I love Mandy.
Britney Spears, we talked a little bit about, she's going through, I mean, she's always had, I think, her own struggles and she's, I'm so proud and happy for her that she's getting treatment.
Great, that she was like, hey, you know what? I need a little help here rather than like letting it go anywhere else. And that's a good thing as a mom, knowing when to say, okay, I need help. I love Britney. I don't think there was anybody that would question her work ethic, how hard she worked. I still think she's insanely talented. Yeah. I don't care. Like, you can make fun of her singing or you can make fun of her, whatever, but the girl could actually sing. That's what's interesting. It was hidden behind the kind of stuff that she was doing.
And also she has this, an it factor that is indescribable. I mean, she's able to make those songs, even if her voice isn't necessarily like soaring to the octaves that like Whitney Houston is doing or whatever. Yeah. She's still making that song such an, the way she's,
I don't know how to say it. No, but. I love Britney. I mean, I really don't have much bad to say about any of those so far. I mean, I won't say anything too bad about somebody, but I'll let you know if they're not, I'm not a fan. When I say not a fan, you know, it's like, okay.
I also, everyone I've ever talked to that's like come in contact with Britney, they always say such wonderful things that she's just a nice, sweet.
Yeah, that's a, yeah. She was very, very like down to earth and sweet and kind.
Okay, Christina.
So I've never met Christina. Can you believe that?
Oh my God.
Yeah. In all of the decades and all of the years, I never got to meet her. So since I've never met her in person, I have, I cannot.
I was like bracing myself for a.
Oh yeah. So like, no, I literally have nothing to say except for I have mad respect for her, but so I don't know her.
Around this time, like, were you able to listen to these? Did you like these other girls' music? Like, do you have a favorite Britney song?
I don't
or were you
think
like,
I
oh,
like
not-
bought their albums, but I think that was deliberate because you wanted to be careful not to ever, because you're always influenced by what you're listening to. So I was always listening to something in like an R&B market or, you know, like just something that was very different. Or I was listening to foreign records just to try to get a different vibe because you didn't want to just keep doing the same thing.
Okay. We talked about Mariah Carey. Did you ever meet her?
Yeah.
And
it's the craziest story.
Wait, oh my God. Can you tell me this story?
I was there the day that Mariah showed up to TRL in a bikini and an ice cream thing.
No, Willa Ford, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Okay. You have to back
up. I was there that
up.
Day with Carson and we were like,
wait,
what?
Were you co-hosting?
I was, I think I was co-hosting that day and I was,
holy shit.
Carson and I were like, what? They're like, Mariah's here with an ice cream. It was a
she walked
it was
out
a
with
surprise.
The ice cream cart, no. And she had a long shirt on, and then she took off the long shirt.
No, it was legit. Like, nobody knew it was happening.
So
MTV.
No one knew
like,
that she
nobody
was coming.
Knew she was coming. Like, no, like she literally grabbed that cart from like the Times Square Street. It was insane. Yeah, and I didn't really get to meet her because like I was told to stay in my dressing room when she walked by.
Oh my God. So after
that's
she
was told
leaves...
to stay in my dressing room so she could walk out.
Holy
she didn't want anybody
crap.
In the halls. Yeah.
I.
Literally, you are not allowed to look at her.
I'm at a loss for words.
Yeah.
So after she leaves that day at TRL, what was the vibe like?
Literally just head scratching.
Head scratching.
Nobody understood what had just happened. We were just like, what is happening?
Did you like doing the TRL stuff?
Loved it.
Yeah.
Carson was a dream to work with. Such a good dude.
I was going
to,
he's on my list. I was going to ask about Carson.
Yeah, Carson's the best. He was such a good dude. Always just a supporter of whatever you were doing. Kind, gentle. He was perfect for the job that he had because he was just so good with people. And it's really funny because when he did the voice, when he got the voice, even my mom called me. She's like, I'm so happy for Carson. Look at he's doing so good because everybody loved Carson.
And he's great on the Today Show too.
Yeah.
I loved watching TRL so much at that time. I mean, I remember Dave Holmes, who's amazing too.
Dave's amazing. We hosted the New Year's Eve together. We like,
oh my God.
I love Dave. Yeah. All of them
you
are amazing.
You did a lot of hosting on MTV.
I did,
at the time.
Yeah. So I didn't sign on as a VJ because my manager told me they didn't want me to, but I was there all the time. I basically was like a co-VJ. But I worked with everybody there. I worked with Brian McFadden, Caduce, Lala.
Take me back. I want to go back to that
God,
time.
Oh my God, I know. But I loved, I cannot give you one personality. I will tell you this, MTV was very good about this. If somebody was not a nice human, they were gone.
Mm.
Hillary Burton, right. Who is now married to Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Who I did Magic City with. I was in the trailer one day and he's like, you know my baby mama. I'm like, who? And then it was Hillary. So, I mean, all these people had one common denominator, other than kind of being beautiful people, we'll be honest.
Yeah, they're all good.
Their common denominator, they were kind. They were all easy to work with. MTV was very smart about hiring easy to work with VJs.
I mean, what a thrill, though. Like, you're just on the job one day, and Mariah just walks through with a fucking ice cream cart.
And
I mean,
you get locked in your dressing room. It was total thrill.
Now, you also filled in for the Pussycat Dolls in Vegas. Did you know them when they were all together?
No, so that was a residency. So basically what happened was they branched out the show. It wasn't the Pussycat Dolls at all.
It was the Vegas Pussycat Dolls
correct.
Show. Yeah.
I knew Eden's crush.
Get over yourself.
Some of the girls. Yeah, I knew Eden's crush was like Nicole, I think, was in. Nicole's. And then went to Pussycat Dolls. But I, freaking Eden's crush, man. And then,
Eden's crush had two songs that I loved. Get Over Yourself. And then they had a slow one. Love This Way or something, maybe.
I literally can't remember. And it's horrible. It's a blur. But then, yeah, so I went to Pussycat Dolls to open their cabaret show. Like, they were going back to the old school and they wanted to open up the cabaret show. And so they hired me to come out and be the lead for that. And that was for like an 8-week stint.
Because I was thinking how perfect you would have been to lead the Pussycat Dolls because Nicole left and I was like.
Yeah, but I think like At that point, I had worked. Yeah, I had worked with them.
Okay, NSYNC. Did you ever meet them? Did you know them?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. NSYNC.
Did you tour with them?
No, I never toured with NSYNC. Obviously, I knew NSYNC back in the day, too, but I knew NSYNC. I did all their charity events. I went, oh, we go all their events.
I saw a picture of you online with Britney at, like, the basketball game.
The NSYNC one? Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, oh, they're on the court together. I was like, we're good. Like, we actually like each other.
Did you guys have, like, a, was no, people just because you guys were
people would say it, and it's like, we like each other. We were talking. I remember people, like, there was a picture of us talking, and people, like, were like, oh, what are they talking about? But Will is telling her off. Like, it was just, like, weird. It's like, no, we were just saying, like, oh, my God, I feel goofy playing basketball.
Which, by the way, too, that's such a weird thing. Like, I would be horrified to be playing basketball in front of people not as a professional basketball.
Oh no, like, I was wretched. She, like, actually played. Yeah. Brittany actually played, and I told everybody on my team, I was like, don't pass me the ball. Like, there's certain things I play, this is not one of them. But all the guys from NSYNC, I love. Chris Kirkpatrick, I hosted Miss Teen USA with as well. We had a blast together. Love him. Justin was always really cool. Lance, of course, who doesn't love Lance? Joey, I see all the time. Joey is just a goof. Love Joey. So yeah, I mean, I love all of NSYNC.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Did you ever have any romances with any of these pop guys or music guys besides Nick?
Well, I was done after that.
Yeah, you were like, no more men in the industry.
Well, no, I just was like, I don't want to be with somebody that could get me cyberbullied.
Right. Oh, my God. I can only imagine, honestly. Like, it just seems...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there was definitely, like, some, like, oh, so-and-so talked about you and likes you, and, like, you should go on a date, but, like, it never got past a date, because it was just not feasible.
Do you think it was much harder for women at the time than men in the industry?
I can't say. Yeah. I think the guys worked really hard, too, so I don't know the answer to that, yeah.
Right. Now, what do you watch on TV? What do you like pop culture-wise? Like, do you, you cut the cord, but is there any shows that, like, you won't miss, or?
Yeah, so... I am like a series. I'm like the Game of Thrones junkie, like total Game of Thrones junkie. Who is not? Yeah. But I am. Game of Thrones, I love. I love the OA.
So my boyfriend just watched the second season. He said it's amazing.
I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop. I think you need to be kind of smart to watch it. I'm just going to say.
Yeah, I'm not smart. I try to watch an episode.
You're like, I don't get it.
I have to watch reality TV. I'm not.
Yeah, so I don't really watch a lot of reality TV. So like I've probably never watched an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Like I just, not that I don't like it or think it's good. I just,
yeah,
it's
just
not.
Seen it.
Yeah, at the end of my day, like I love to get into a good series and I don't have a lot of TV time to myself. So when I do have it, it's usually a series.
What about music? Are you what do you listen to? Do you listen to country a lot now?
I listen to everything. I am still one of the avid satellite radio users because I like to listen to. I go from 40s to 70s to like I literally never turn on the 2000s.
I know what you're probably playing on there all the time,
right? Because then I'm like, okay, people always screenshot me like, hey, look who's on my radio. I'm like, great. But I love country. I love bluegrass. I love jazz. Yeah, I listen to everything.
You know, I'm just having a vision right now of, I also loved your Santa Baby, Gimme, Gimme, Gimme.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I think I posted that at Christmas time.
It was such
a good song.
Yeah, so.
Did you write that?
Yes.
Yeah, oh my
God. So what happened was MTV was making a TRL album and they put out that they wanted like songs for it, but they wanted originals and they... Yeah, so I went in one day with Eve Nelson, who's a fantastic writer, and we decided to write the song. And I was like, I want to do a new take on Santa Baby, but it can't sound like Santa Baby. Like, it's got to be.
Because it does. It's not Santa Baby. It's,
no.
But that's the
and
name
so
of
she
song.
Just started coming up with this beat, and then we just started writing it. Yeah, so her and I wrote that song together. I finished it. I mean, literally, we finished it and mixed it and shot it off. And... like the next day it was like, oh my God, they're pumped about this. They're putting it on the album. And then I can't remember exactly how it happened, but they like called me and they're like, it's the single. They want to shoot a music video.
The video was great too. You had hot guys in the video.
Yeah. They're like, they want to shoot a music video. And I'm like, oh, okay, amazing. So yeah, it was the single from the TRL Christmas album.
We need a full holiday album from you.
Oh my God.
That's what we need. Well, I know you're busy. You don't have time for that, but I want it. And that song can be on it.
Okay, great.
Willa, thank you so much. I was so excited to meet you, and I'm so thrilled that you stopped by to do this. I really appreciate it. I've loved your music for so long, and I speak on behalf of many gays that I Wanna Be Bad has given us all so much joy. Can I play it in the episode?
Absolutely.
Have musical
rights? Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna put it.
Yeah, you're like, can I do it?
Oh, where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, that's tricky. So I am now at W Ford Interiors on Instagram, and then I'm Willa Ford on Twitter.
Okay.
But somebody took Willa Ford on Instagram.
It's honestly rude, and we need to get it back.
I'm pretty sure people named their kids after me, and they're the ones taking it now.
I bet you have heard of it, because Willa, no one has that name. You've probably heard of
people.
No, there's
Willa Ford.
Yeah, there's
now.
Willa's.
Yep. Yeah, it's messed up.
I love that.
Yeah, like, so you can put me there, and then, you can check out my design stuff. I post a little bit about myself. I'm going to be better about posting more of myself again, because I stopped, and I've been told that I need to.
Yeah, and the show will be out late summer, and we'll hear more.
So then you'll see
midsummer, late summer. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I'll come back and we'll talk about what you're watching.
Oh my God, I'd love to. I can't wait to watch it. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I want to say thank you to Samsung Technologies for sponsoring the show. Please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook. It's facebook.com/PellegrinoDanny. If you want to support this podcast, head on over to patreon.com/everythingiconic. Click become a patron. For $4 more per month, you get access to all the bonus episodes, and you're helping to support the show. Thank you all the people that are over there. I love you guys so much for listening. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.